Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is December the 12th, 2011. Today is a great day to be alive. And I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Can you believe it? We have 13 days till Christmas. 13 days until families and friends will begin to gather together. Wow. Again, thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Victories Against All Odds, as I stated before, a radio talk show for families where we talk about our discussions and we talk about some of our struggles and our obstacles that we face as it relates to issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. So let's talk. My email address is odds, O-D-E-S, underscore, against. A-G-A-I-N-S-T underscore the letter U at yahoo.com. Please email me. I'll respond. If you have a question, a comment, please feel free to leave me your comment and questions. The chat room is open. Yes, it is. Chat room is open. Don't be afraid to ask a question. We'll not reveal names. Everything that if you call or if you ask a question, I definitely will not be revealing your name unless you want to. That is totally up to you. Let's get started. As we talk, as I stated today, we wanted to talk about, as we talk about Christmas, we also need to talk about holiday depression, which is something that people tend to forget about. And I wanted to throw some statistics out to you in reference to depression, because sometimes I think we don't think about depression when it comes to the holidays. But approximately 18.8 million American adults, or about 9.5% of the U.S. population ages 18 and older in a given year, have some form of depressive disorder. That's nearly twice as many women, which is about 12%, as men. Men, it's about 6.6%, are affected by depressive disorder each year. These figures translate to be about 12.4 million women and 6.4 million men in the United States. That is an alarming, alarming rate. Women between the ages of 25 and 44 are most often affected by depression, with major causes of depression in women being the inability to express or handle anger. And, you know, we did very in-depth topic discussion on anger and how we are to turn what is typically viewed as something negative, and we took our strategic tools and turned it into something positive, how to use anger in a positive way. Also, childhood depression, up to 2.5% of children in the United States suffer from depression. In 1997, suicide was the leading cause of death in children ages 10 to 24 years old. All too often, suicide is a result of an extended period of depression, which lets us know as parents, as adults, as caregivers, any role that you play in a child's life, we need to be paying attention to our children. Any signs of depression, don't be so busy that you're not paying attention, because that's just too much of an alarming rate for our children to be dying at the hands of suicide. That is not even acceptable. Also, we can talk about clinical depression. While major depression disorders can develop at early ages, the average onset of depression is usually in your mid-20s. And that is very alarming. Now, when you take suicide and depression and put it together, you get something like this. In 2001, 30,622 people died by suicide in the United States alone. In 2000, suicide was the third leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds. That's just way too many people dying at their own hands. Very alarming. Very alarming. The highest suicide rate in the United States are found typically in white Caucasian males over the age of 85. And this could be for various reasons. Usually it could be at the loss of a spouse, generally, or, you know, an illness, and their quality of life has deteriorated. And they, you know, older generation don't like to give up their independence. And if they feel like they've become a burden to their family due to illness, then, you know, they may feel that, you know, it's not worth living. I know, for example, my grandfather was in his 80s when he decided to give up because my grandmother had passed away, and they had been married all her life. And he was lonely. He didn't know how to cope without his partner being in his life. So it is definitely something that we need to pay attention to. And I'm not going to be before you long today. We're going to talk about, and we've done this before, we're going to just kind of go over clinical depression. We know that clinical depression is diagnosed when individuals experience severe depressed moods that include usually five or more of the primary symptoms that cause impairment in our everyday function. We talked about the primary symptoms. We talked about secondary symptoms. And we can just kind of go over a few of them, and then I'll open the line up. We talked about feelings of overwhelming sadness, fear. We talked about the inability to express our emotions, feeling empty. We talked about changing our appetite, weight loss or weight gain, intense feelings of guilt, helplessness, hopelessness, worthlessness, isolation and loneliness, anxiety, especially as we get closer to Christmas, anxiety tends to set in. Your sleep patterns may be off. You may either be sleeping too much. You may be sleeping not enough. You may be have insomnia, loss of REM sleep, which, you know, is important. And I suffer from that myself, and now I'm not even depressed. But when holidays come, it just seems to intensify. We talk about trouble concentrating and focusing, and we begin to talk about having suicide thoughts, because we have to go there. Decrease in self-esteem are some of the other secondary symptoms that we tend to get into. Loss of inattentive to your hygiene. You just kind of lose who you are. You don't feel like getting out of the bed. You don't feel like taking a shower. You just don't even care how you look. Sensitivity to noise. Everything seems to get on your nerves. Everything's too loud. You feel like you're going mad. You lose concept of time. But just all kinds of things. And these are just some of the things I'm throwing out that may tend to begin to creep up during the holiday season. We know that holiday blues tend to be pretty common when you talk about having to, how do I put it, begin to, I guess, gather around family, and as the holidays come, which is supposed to be a joyous occasion, you tend to, the stress levels begin to increase, and the stress with the need to have to shop and exercise, you know, just all kinds of things. Now, the other thing that happens when we talk about holiday and depression is we have to talk about loss, because that is important. When we talk about loss, it could be loss of a spouse. It could be loss of a spouse, whether it be through divorce or the spouse has deceased. It could be loss of a job, and we tend not to think about it like that. At times, we have to talk about illness and loss, those are some of the emotions that tend to get stirred up, and we sometimes forget about that. And I'll just be transparent here for just a minute. I struggle, and I think that's one of the reasons why we are talking about this. I struggle from time to time with depression during the holidays, and it was because of loss of a loved one. And the reason being is because my mother passed away right around the Christmas holidays when she went into a coma, and Christmas Day came. She was in the hospital, and I was shipped to Washington, D.C. I'm from Maryland, and I see I do have a person from Maryland on my line. Thank you for calling. And so it would bring up all these feelings of loneliness, feeling of being deprived because, you know, Christmas was already pretty much in place. The Christmas tree was up and the presents were bought, and there was no one to share it with. I was in a totally different environment. So one of the ways that we fight this when we talk about grief, because that's what we're talking about now. When we talk about loss, you have to talk about grief. So one of the things that we definitely talked about in terms of how we overcome using our strategic tools is first and foremost, and I say this every time we're on the air, is we have to admit that the problem is there. We have to admit that we are depressed. We have to expose that thing, if you will, that thing that keeps us locked and bound and chained. We have to expose it, because once we expose it, then we can deal with it. But if you push it in the back, we act like it's not there, then you're going to just cause yourself much, much harm. And one of the ways that we can talk about how we use our tools is deal with it. We know it's there. And once we deal with it, the quicker that it passes. If you put it out there, go to a friend, call a neighbor, call your family, call your whoever you need to call, whether it be a counselor, whether it be a pastor, whether it be your friend, talk to your dog, go exercising, you know, do something. And one of the ways to kind of bring that out is to cry. Now, we think about crying. Crying can be very healthy. It is very healing. It is very soothing. It begins to bring some type of comfort to whatever that thing is. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that we do and some of the things that we should not do when we are facing the holidays that would intensify your grief. So some say, I'm looking at my chat room, I see you, and some say that, you know, avoid those things that would cause you to be grieved. So sometimes that's a little bit hard to do. But one of the things I would say is whatever you do when you are having feelings of depression is don't go out spending too much. Don't go out on a shopping spree and spend. That's going to perpetuate the feelings. In my chat room, I have someone who's also saying, thank you, Apostle, that you've lost your grandson on Thanksgiving morning. Are we talking about this year, 2011? Wow, I'm so sorry to hear that. She says, from the depths of despair, she knows that she could call on the Lord. And she's reading, I guess, Psalms 131 through 8. And that is a comfort. So we do need to put those things in place to that will bring us comfort. And I am sorry to hear that, you know, that you've lost your son. But this is exactly what we're talking about. So when we talk about, as people are losing family members here around the holidays, whether it be Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, we need to talk about these things, those feelings, those things that would cause us to have grief. And Apostle was also talking about emotions and how it's hard to control that and how the enemy knows how to use those situations to keep you upset. And she's exactly right. And what we have to do then is go to the Word. So if we're going to switch gears here for just a minute, we go to the Word and we use our weapons because we know that the Word, you know, brings us comfort. Yes, amen. And so we have to go to the Word because we know that our help comes from the Lord, and we know that the Lord is a comforter, you know, in a time of sorrow, in a time of grief. And we also know that for those who may not necessarily be believers, talking to you as well, in a time of loss, we need to be able to go to to someone who can be of comfort to us. You know, go with the family, meet with the family, so that you all can help each other heal. Talk about the good things. Bring up the good memories that you have this person, and, you know, what that person meant to you. What were some of the things that the person deposited that was positive in your life? And and so I thank you, Apostle Ross, who is an awesome woman of God, who I've had the opportunity to be on her, to not be on her show, but to listen to her show. And I thank her for her comments. She also says to stay connected and don't allow the enemy to cause separation. And she's right. What's one of the other things that I was going to say? And when you talk about the depression, the last thing you need to do is separate yourself, shut down, cut communication off, because that's when the enemy really, 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 really beats you up. And we definitely know that we need to be around friends. We need to be around family. We need to be able to go to our loved ones, those our friends who say that they love us, to get comfort as well. And I'm going to open up the line. Those that are in the chat room, keep typing, and I will I'll be your sounding board if you're not going to log in. I'm going to open the line up here. I have talked enough. Good afternoon, caller 1559. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm just listening to you this morning, rejoicing and refreshed by what you're sharing. I don't know if at one time, I don't know if you know this, but psychologists and psychiatrists actually said among themselves and to those who would listen that depression is necessary, a little bit of it, and healthy. I don't know, have you ever heard that statement made?
I haven't. I can possibly see where they would go with that, being I'm a social worker. Or at least have my degree in social work and have worked in the field, I probably can still figure out where they're pulling that from. I think that it balances out who we are. I guess I can figure out that there is some form of healthy depression. But see, what I didn't do is I didn't talk about the different variations of depression. I didn't get into all of that. So, because there are people who have what we call chemical imbalances, and there are people who have, you know, depression that is clinical, and that would not be a healthy depression.
Comment. I must go this morning. I just wanted to throw that out to you as a thought for the day. Have a blessed day and continue the excellent work, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you calling. Okay. All right. That was Dr. Dew. He's always supporting me, and I appreciate him so much. Caller 0340, you are on the air. Victory gets all odds. You have a question or a comment.
Oh, no, this is Apostle Ross. God bless you. I just tuned in. I, you know, not often get to come into the segments, but you have been such a great follower of me, and so I just really wanted to support you today. It's a very excellent topic, depression, amen, and sooner or later most of us experience some form of depression. You know, it comes sometimes slowly, you know, like, you know, changing, you know, the sunshine right into the evening rains. You know, it can overwhelm us like, you know, an avalanche, you know, of darkness. And, you know, sometimes the results can be real situations of failure or loss. So it can invade our minds for, you know, some reason. It may not mean much to someone else, but if you are going through it, then you are experiencing that thing. The Bible includes characters who experience depression of all kinds. And part of the scriptures were written by people, you know, in the midst of feeling much like depression. Based on me being a born-again believer, I always look to the Word for help and understanding in anything that we go through. I was sharing with you that I lost my grandson on Thanksgiving morning, which was very devastating. 12 years ago, I lost my son to gun violence, and my only son. I had two daughters, but my son, you know, this was the only male child that the Lord had given me, and his life was taken from us at the age of 37. You know, yes. I felt like somebody had ripped out my heart, you know.
Yes.
For 6 months, you know, folk kind of knew, okay, you grieve and you grieve, and then people begin to say, oh, well, you should just get over it. One thing, nobody can tell you how long you need to grieve, how long you need to cry. Even now, you know, I've come to a point of understanding that God is in control. We have no control over what happens in the world, but we do know who controls. And so it is with those thoughts and feelings, even on the Word of God, that I seek refuge and seek, you know, consolation in God's Word. And I found it. I found it there. Even in the midst of my tears, you know, God can say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. That helps me so much. So the emotions are going to come. Out of 11 children, I'm two of the last remaining. I have a brother and myself out of 11. So each year we've seen family members just die. You know, they just die. My brother's in a state of, well, I guess I'm going to be next. I refuse to go there. I refuse to live my life to the fullest. You know, the time that God gives me, I don't want to spend it trying to figure out when I'm going to die. I want to spend it living my life, because there is no regrets afterwards that you can go back and say, okay, flip the page, let's do over. Let's make the most of it, even in the midst of depression, in situations of death, in situations that we can't control. Let's make the most of it. Remember that you have today. That's all that you have. Make the most of today, yesterday, and each day, purpose in your heart to get up and make the most of that day. God bless you, and I pray back for your segment. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for calling, Apostle Ross. I appreciate you so much. Appreciate you so much, and that was awesome. Awesome. I'm just so happy that she shared today. And I think she has a show today as well, so we're going to try to tune in with her later on. Let's see. I have another caller. Caller 7437, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Evangelist Benton. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I am just thankful to God for you and your audience and the difference that you're making. And even the woman of God that was on the air, we thank God for her and how she's standing. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture that says the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to the one that endures. And on this journey of life, I think the dark times, the good times, and the challenges is what molds us and makes us and prepares us so that we're empowered with endurance. And I don't know what it's like to have lost a child, but I lost my sister on the journey of life. And when she passed, I was so angry because her living, she died with her work unfinished, and I saw our family had a group, and we sang, and she sang, and I always thought she sang like an angel. So when she passed, I was just so torn, so broken, and I became not depressed that I couldn't function, but I was just angry. I felt that I had been stripped of just a part of me. And so God started to deal with me in sending different people. There's one minister of the gospel that reminds me, she has my sister's smile. And she and I spend time, but I can only spend just a limited time with her because her smile and her presence, her character reminds me of my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another minister. The way she does things reminds me of my sister. And then, of course, you don't favor my sister, but your drive to stand, your drive to be committed. My sister was, when she made up her mind to do something, you didn't deter her from that. And so I guess to your listeners and those in the chat room and those across the states of the U.S. and out in the international waters, life has a way of sending those things that sometimes are not so pleasant, and they can go into the very core of your spirit and being, and you say, when will it stop? When will it end? Can I go on? Can I make it?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we're reminded of what God left in his word. You are to love one another as I loved you. In other words, we need each other.
Yeah.
We're people that God sends. And they ease away the hurt. They ease away the pain.
Mm-hmm.
They ease away the challenges and the dark days. Those are the gifts that we get in life that empower us and enable us to stand and say, you know something? Yes, I miss my sister. Yes, I miss my child. But there will come a time that I'll see that person again. We'll reunite again.
Yes.
So we have to embrace the different doors and windows, if I could use that analogy, that God
yes.
makes available to us whenever we have those dark times of depression. Maybe someone is suffering from abuse or suffering from molestation,
mm-hmm.
and or suffering from someone giving them a pick slip, or someone saying, you're not going to make it, or you're no good, or you're cursed, or whatever. We have these challenges in life come. They come. And then the preacher in me says, you have the greatest example, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He suffered all kinds of things. I know when they told him that his friend Lazarus was dead, the Bible doesn't talk about him being depressed, but Jesus wept, so something tore into him. Something tore into him at that time when he heard about his friend, and something happened when you hear about the different times that Christ is moved with people, whether their attitude is godly or ungodly. You know,
yeah.
And so he was our example. And so
yeah.
he says, be of good cheer.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I will overcome the world, and you will overcome it as well. And so
yeah.
He's saying there's a part in me where you can go and just rest for a while under that shadow, under my wing, and just kind of let me, you know, I will exchange your hurt and provide healing. I will exchange the abuse and provide admiration. I'll exchange the depression and bring you
yeah.
into dominion.
Yeah,
I love him for that.
Apostle Ross said, she said, wait a minute, hold on. She said that Jesus too was acquainted with bitterness and grief, and he knows and understands the pain of human life. And she referred to Isaiah 53:3, and then she said, when we understand that God allows some things to make us strong and to grow up so we can help others go through these
mm-hmm.
things that come to separate us from God. And she talked about, and she referenced Romans 8:39. And of course, you know, we've talked about that a lot here on this segment as well, you know, that he allows us to go through just to make us strong so that we can go out and help somebody else. And one of the things that that seems to be bothering me as I'm going through this is I'm getting little, you know, drops here and drops there of folks saying, well, you know, don't be looking back, stop looking back, you know. And I think that they miss, you know, what you're doing. And so they view it as looking back, you know, like Lot's wife did. What they're missing is that, you know, we're not just looking back. We're going in and we're going back to that what God has pulled us out of so we can go get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And instead
Absolutely.
Of just, you know, that we're not looking back because we're stuck back there. You know, we're going back to pull someone else out because we've been delivered. You know,
Absolutely.
So it bothers me that, you know, that I'm beginning to hear little drops of here, you know, well, stop looking back. It's not a matter of looking back. You're not looking back because you're not stuck. Your mindset's not stuck there. You know, Lot's wife was looking back for a different purpose. You know, she had her heart, you know, halfway here and, you know, and halfway there, you know, we're going in pulling somebody else out because we've been delivered from that thing. And if we don't go back and get those once we've been delivered, then how are we going to get the 30, the 60, and the 100?
Absolutely.
That's what the whole purpose of us being able to, you know, if the Lord says he's not going to put any more on us than we can bear, he put it on us so that we could bear for a reason, because we knew that there were others that were going to come behind us, and we being the forefront runners, we've got to go back and get the others.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, okay, wait a minute, hold up. No, you're on the wrong page, and that means that your mindset is in, you know, your mindset is all off, you know, so then we need to go back and pray again so that you can get the mindset so that whatever it is that the Lord has delivered you from, you can go back in to get someone else, because that means to me you've missed your assignment and your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I concur,
Evangelist Benton. We are using where he brought us from as a reference to say, look, don't give up in the midst of where you're going, and don't be what you went through. We are no means, if we have sent the message that we are giving you any indication that we're victims, we do apologize that we were not more clear. We are more than conquerors
yes.
through him that strengthens us.
Yes.
And so we let you know that there is a way out, because in the times of darkness, and your issue may not be where we went, it may be another issue. We all have issues. And so Paul makes it so plain there in Philippians when he said that my suffering, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto death. All of the things that we have experienced on this journey, people think that it's for them. It is so that we can bear one another's burdens. Like I said, once you understand that you're your brother's keeper, once you understand that when people hurt, there is something that you can do. Some pray, some exalt, some encourage, and some say, well, let's go and do thus and so. We have a measure, a requirement, if you will, to bear one another's burdens. And we're not coming across saying we're victims. We're saying we're more than conquerors, and we're saying now we have this gift. This earthen vessel has come up from the ash heap of the trials and challenges of life, and we know there are more challenges that await us, but we're not moved by that. That doesn't move us. We
right.
want to make sure where God has taken us, and we walk in that victory, that we can use that victory to impart and to encourage and to empower others. So we're helping those that are weak. We're helping them. We're assisting them. We're not victims. This is not looking back to get stuck. This is not looking back to say we're not delivered. We're getting reference and saying, look what God has done. When the woman who had been found at the well, she went back and she said, let me tell you about a man. She was letting you know that she was no longer a victim, that even
right.
though she had challenges in her connection with being married, look, that was the old person. For those of you who see me smiling, for those of you who see me now, not looking for man to do what only God can do, let me just let you know where God brought me from. I'm the same woman. I'm no longer depressed. I'm no longer looking for man to fill that void. God has filled it. Let me tell you about a man. We at that time become his mouthpiece, his vessel. We start to tell you how God has delivered, how God has blessed. That's powerful. It is powerful.
Yes.
And even
yes.
you know, we get fatigued, we get stuck. When you go to the doctor, they have examples, and you go and you have something done, the doctor will say, there's a film on what you can expect. In other words, I'm letting you know that this has been done, and people have, they survived it. Glory be to God. This can be done, and this is what you can expect. Well, we're taking that same approach and saying, it has happened, but there is a way out, and the way out is God. But we're here. We want you to know that we suffer. We bear into whatever you're going through. I think that we have gotten so busy, Evangelist Benton, with the cares of this world and being so consumed, we have
yes.
almost lost the ability to be compassionate people and to know that our duty is to be our brother's keeper. Where are we going with this? People are afraid. I can go on the streets of America, and there's certain communities where when you smile, people do not smile back.
Yes.
Because they don't understand the gift of saying, hey, good morning, how are you? Or there's certain
right.
places where you go and people say, oh, you can't say how you doing, because that means that you're up to something. How have we gotten so far off track that we're not our brother's keeper, that we're not concerned about people next door? I believe, now this is what I believe. I believe that we'll continue to go to where we're going until we wake up and say, you know what, I'm concerned about my brother.
That's right.
I'm concerned about my sister. I believe that crime and mugging and different things that occur, some of this stuff could be stopped in the tracks if folk would I'm not talking about people being busybodies. I'm talking about being concerned. And we can be so concerned, we can pray against those things. We can come against those things. But I think the reason why a lot of this has become so out of control is because we have allowed ourselves to not be our brother's keeper.
That's right.
I'm gonna leave this with you. I remember in one of our local ministry locations, I was assisting one of the ministries with the women's shelter, where the women leave their homes and they have to leave with the clothes on their back and go into a shelter and go in hiding from abusive husbands, and the same with the men that abuse. And so I looked in my closet and found toiletries that I had stashed away. And I said, this is a sin. I said, nobody needs two or three boxes of lotions and what have you. I said, these women and children could use these things. And so I started to purge my hoarding, if I could use that word, and take that to the shelter. And
right.
Then I said to someone, I said, the holidays are coming up. I said, I have a house that has a kitchen and a dining room, and I can easily seat, 25 people comfortably, and maybe even set up a table in the den. I said, I think I'll invite these women to my home and their children, if they will come, and I will fix them a dinner. I will lay out the best dinner that I have and just set up the table. I mean, with the finest of everything, you know, sparing no expense. I said, and rather than us buy gifts for friends, we will find out and get some things from the children. And one of my co-laborers in the gospel said to me, she said, you live in a neighborhood where there's doctors and lawyers and surgeons, and you have a nice home. Why would you let those women come into your home? Aren't you afraid that they would steal some of the things that you have in your house?
Wow. Listen to the mindset of that.
You know what I said to her? I said, the same God who allowed me to be blessed to have, to give to someone that's depressed, that's left their home, where they can sit to a table and be served and their children served. If one gold glass or plate or silverware is missing, and there's a need to take that piece back with them, does that define who I am?
That's right.
She said, no, it doesn't define who you are. She said, but I don't think that I would do that. I said, that's the reason why you are where you are and you have what you have.
That's right.
I said, what I have is for the kingdom. These are God's daughters. And she looked at me and she said, you know something? She says, I'm so sorry. She says, I missed it. I said, you did. I said, and not only have you missed it, many have missed being their brother's keeper.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what I have for today.
And before you go, we were talking about that. What I've done is I've taught my kids, and I have twin boys, and they're only 14, but they already have caught on to just that part of the vision of being their brother keeper. So what they've done in the last 3, 4, 5 years is every year we pack clothes that are too small, and they love emptying out their toy box, and they'll say, Mom, want to give our toy, these toys right here, we put this in these boxes because we want to give it to the children that don't have no toys. And I look at them, go, wow, you know. And sometimes I go, and I'm like, you want to give this away? I'm like, okay, can we keep this one right here a little bit longer? But But the idea is that they understand,
yes.
you know, that to bless someone else and to make room, you know,
yes.
That when they empty out and share what they have to someone that's less fortunate, that they're making room
mm-hmm.
for something else, that they're waiting
mm-hmm.
the expectation for that spot that they just emptied to be filled back up.
Absolutely.
And so I thank God that they caught on to that. You know, when I first began to explain to them that it is better to give than to receive, and that we do, you know, that we take what we have, that God has blessed us with, you know, that people have, you know, given us and that we have acquired, and when we have
right.
no more use for it, then we fold it up and we box it up and we wash it and make sure it's nice and clean and fit,
mm-hmm.
and we go down and we bless some other child or we bless some other family. And then, you know,
mm-hmm.
in return, you know, not that we're looking for a return that way, but, you know, so be
mm-hmm.
it. If there is a return and God decides to bless us, we've got room. You know, we
mm-hmm.
don't want to be busting at the seams and we don't have a place to put it because we got so much and we ain't give anything away. So
mm-hmm.
they caught on to that. So recently, just about a week ago, they came downstairs and they said, "Mom, we decided we want to give the whole toy box away." I was like, "All of it? Yes, all of it." Well, so we keep a little bit of it just in case some children come and visit us and they may need something to play with. So we'll keep a few things, but we'll begin to box things up and we'll take and we'll bless a family with toys. So I thank God, because, you know, as you were talking about that, you know, yes, they have caught on that, yes, we are our brother's keeper. And we must,
that's right.
you know, we must impart and plant into someone else's life. You know, and not
mm-hmm.
be so selfish. So I'm teaching them, there's a whole lot of principles in there, not to be selfish, not to be hoardful, and, you know, and
mm-hmm.
there's someone, you know. So there are a lot of little lessons and nuggets in there just in that one example. So I just thank God for, you know, that just that little piece. And just, you know, even talking about what the other woman of God, the apostle, said in reference to, you know, Jesus too. He was acquainted with bitterness and grief and pain, and he understands, you know,
yes.
our suffering, and you know, not even to undermine, you know, or disregard what she said in reference to losing her son, you know,
mm-hmm.
And her other family members, you know, and that. Grieving, because I heard a lot of cleaning, grieving is a process, you know, and
yes.
it may take this person, you know, this amount of time, and it may take another person that amount of time, but, you know, those are, that's their grieving process, and you know, as long as we understand that we're grieving, and it does take time, but at the same time, not allow it to get so out of hand that we stay stuck, we just don't want to be stuck. You know, while we're in that grieving process, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that we are able to recover. You know, my favorite line is, you know, can we recover? And my answer is, yes, we can. Yes.
Yes.
We can.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that's
well,
thank
wonderful.
Thank you, Lord God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know that you're welcome. And we thank God for you. And the difference that you're making a difference being that voice across America and the international waters to encourage people that God is the way, he's the truth, and he'll make our life, he makes the difference in our life, and we're not stuck. We're not having a pity party. We've had some challenges, but he brought us out of the ash heap, and we go forth in victory. So we love you for that. We appreciate you, Evangelist Benton. I know that your phone lines are probably filling up in the chat room because people are understanding today that somebody cares, somebody's praying, somebody is speaking when they can't speak. There may be somebody listening, and they're unable to speak. They can hear, but they can't speak. And we're that voice today to say that God brings you out. So know that you're loved and that we're going to continue to make this difference. So thank you for that, and give my love to your gifts. And you know that we love you and we appreciate your taking your gift you took your healing. You took your hurt and exchanged it for healing. And now you're taking that healing and you're spreading it throughout the airwaves to the people, saying, this is what God did for me. And, of course, he'll do it for you. So we thank God for that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. We're going to get ready to call this segment to an end, and I will be texting you in a little bit. And you have a great day. We thank all, we have had some challenges in our lives, but we know that everyone who's listening and who has listened under the sound of my voice today know that we ought not to hide our pain. As we talked about depression, one of the first victories in that is to acknowledge that it is there. And then once we acknowledge that it is there, we have exposed it, then at that point, we can begin to recover. We can overcome all the odds that are against us. Every obstacle that comes and tries to block you and keep you bound, you don't have to be bound any longer. Just know that Evangelist Benton is here to help you walk in total victory. I want you to stay tuned weekly so we can begin to gain understanding of the physical and the emotional challenges that you are facing for yourself and for your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your family, your classmates, your coworkers. Together, we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat the seemingly insurmountable obstacles that life brings and begin the process of healing and the process of forgiving. Thank you for listening on today. Thank you for your support, all those that were in the chat room today, all those that came on the line. We appreciate each and every one of you. We don't take it lightly. And, again, my email address is odds_against@yahoo.com. That's odds, O-D-D-S, underscore, against, underscore, the letter U, at yahoo.com. If you inbox me, please let me know that you were a listener on the air and what the topic was about, and I will respond accordingly. Will not be discussing your name or on the air or revealing anything that you've said to anyone else. You can Facebook me at facebook.com/victory. Capital A, capital O, and I thank each and every one of you for listening on today. Today is December the 12th, 2011. I will see you back here next week at 12:30. Your love.